All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Be sure to throw me a follow on Twitter, at Zach_Goodall, as well as my absent co-host, Misto Cristofo, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Cristofo. He is not with me today, as he is touring the city of New York. Yes, he is there for the Jaguars, Giants, week one, you know, opening game of 2018. He is there. He's going to be tweeting from his seat, all the videos, giving us his view, his takes, all that good stuff. So be sure to follow along with him at Misto Cristofo. And of course, follow the Locked On Jaguars handle as well at Locked On Jaguars. It's where you can find most of our content. You know, everyone from the site, the pods, everything like that. You can find everything right over there at that handle. We're going to go ahead and dive in. As I said, this is week one. This is the opening week. The Jaguars are up in New York to take on the New York Football Giants. We're going to dive into the injury reports as of Friday morning. So we don't have Friday's practice reports up yet, but we have a good idea as to how things are looking so far through Thursday's reports, as well as really get into the matchups that we should be looking out for in this game. So we'll start on the Jaguar side of the ball. All-star cornerback Jalen Ramsey, you know, the highlight of the Jaguars offseason. He's always in the news. He's given them a name. You know, everyone in the country is watching this dude, especially in his matchup this week against Odell Beckham Jr. However, he was put on the injury report on Thursday. The team specifically said it wasn't from an ankle injury. It didn't happen in practice. It was just some soreness that made him limited on Thursday. He's dealt with ankle soreness in the past. He's had ankle issues. He's always played through them and been totally fine. So I'm really expecting nothing less out of this one. I think he'll be fine to play on Sunday. They're certainly not worried from what we can tell. I do think he'll be fine going forward. Both starting center and starting right tackle, Brandon Linder and Jeremy Parnell, have knee injuries. They've been limited during the week. However, I do believe they'll be fine. They haven't missed any practice, just been limited. I think it's more precautionary. Both should be able to suit it up on Sunday. Austin Seferian-Jenkins, starting tight end, had a core muscle injury that sidelined him. He did not practice on Wednesday. He was limited, upgraded to limited on Thursday. So signs are pointing his way that he should be able to play on Sunday as well. I do expect the Jaguars to be fully healthy on Sunday when they take the field in East Rutherford. Then we'll take things over to the New York Giants side of the ball. Star pass rusher Olivier Vernon has an ankle injury. He has not practiced either Wednesday or Thursday, so that is a little concerning for him. Signs are not pointing his way. Same thing with linebacker Tay Davis. He has a hamstring injury, did not practice Wednesday, did not practice Thursday. I do not believe either player will be 100% to go on Sunday, if they even dress up at all, so we will definitely be monitoring that. But that would be a huge blow to the Giants if Olivier Vernon did not play. He is their star pass rusher. That would definitely be a big loss for them, which would be a big game for the Jaguars. Lorenzo Carter, who is Olivier Vernon's backup, also was limited Thursday with an illness. I assume that he'll be able to get over this illness pretty quickly, since he was still out there practicing, just limited. In which case, I do believe he will play. He is Vernon's backup. If he doesn't play, that means they're waiting for the third teamer behind Vernon and Carter to come in and be the primary pass rusher for that team. So that's something a little bit to be optimistic about if you're a Jaguars fan, that Cam Robinson might have a real, real easy test coming his way. So that'll pretty much do it on the injury report side of things. We will break down the offensive and defensive matchups as soon as we come back from this break. All right, so we'll start things off over here with the Jaguars offense versus the Giants defense. And while there are definitely some playmakers in this Giants secondary, I don't think this will be the toughest matchup for the Jaguars offense as the season goes along. Last year, the Giants really struggled at getting to the quarterback, recording only 27 sacks on the entire season. Keep in mind, the Jaguars doubled that with their dynamic pass rush. So obviously much of a downgrade there in terms of pass rushing. The Jaguars do have a much better offensive line just by the addition of Andrew Norwell, all-pro left guard who signed in free agency. That will do them wonders on the left side alone. On top of course, the development of Cam Robinson. You've got Brandon Linder there. AJ Cann has taken a couple of steps forward this offseason. We've really seen that throughout the preseason and training camp. He's done a lot of training to get better. Jeremy Parnell has always been pretty stable over at the right tackle position. So all in all, I really don't see this Giants defense making much, you know, pressure on Blake Bortles. That should also open up some holes in the running game. The only addition they have to their defensive line is rookie left defensive end B.J. Hill. He was a third-round pick this year. So obviously he's going to have some, maybe a little bit of a rough patch to start the year as he's just brand new to this. I don't expect him to be too much of an impact in this game from a pass rushing or a run stopping perspective. In the linebacker core, no one that anyone I really would think is too familiar with anyone. You got Kareem Martin, Alec Ogletree, BJ Goodson, as your three starting linebackers from the strong side through the inside. Obviously, the weak side being Olivier Vernon, who might miss the game. Lorenzo Carter, who is also a rookie, who is Vernon's backup, who also could potentially not be 100% as he's dealing with an illness. So all in all, nothing really to hang their hat on there, especially if Vernon does miss the game. This should make things really easy for Leonard Fournette going up against a front seven that really doesn't seem to be too stable. He should be able to come out there with an improved offensive line and really be able to move the ball. That's what we're hoping to see. We want to see much more agility out of him. Him going up against a weak defense is certainly a great way to start it. However, when we dive in on the secondary, that's when things start to get a little bit, you know, questionable for Blake Bortles, as he obviously has had turnover issues in the past. He really trimmed them down in 2017, for that matter. Had only 13 on the year last year. We still saw some times where he would make questionable decisions with the ball. You're really hoping that those are just done away with even more this year. However, he's going up against a Pro Bowl safety in Landon Collins, Janoris Jenkins at corner, who the Giants signed last year, maybe 2 years ago in free agency. He only played in 9 games last year, and he still recorded 3 interceptions, made a lot of different plays on the ball. He's the ball-hawking type of corner that they have in their secondary. Pairing that with Landon Collins, who I'm pulling up his stats right now. I think he had 2 interceptions last year. Yes, he had 2 interceptions last year. You're getting some guys that can really play the ball here, in which case, you know, Blake is going to have to be a little more reserved. He's going to have to trust his reads. They're going to probably try and simplify things on underneath routes because this linebacker core isn't too proven as in pass coverage. So, you know, DeeDee Westbrook getting open underneath some deeper routes from guys like Keelan Cole or Dante Moncrief, I think that'll really be, you know, the target for Blake Bortles, as Westbrook is likely going to come in and replace the role that Marquise Lee held in the underneath aspect of the field, who, if you guys are playing PPR leagues, that DeeDee Westbrook should definitely be on your radar for this week. Maybe sign him last second, plug him in into the flex position, or if you carry 3 receivers on your starting team, you put him in there. I do think he will get a fair share of targets coming his way, so be sure to look out for that. When we come back, we will flip things over. We will start talking about the Jaguars defense versus this Giants offense. All right, now we are going to go ahead and flip things over. Giants with the ball, Jaguars on defense. Let's take a look at some of the things that the Giants can do against this Jaguars defense that was near the top of the league, if not the best defense in the league last year, especially against the pass. Even though the Jaguars were so dynamic against the past, I do think that the Giants have some weapons that they can utilize to try and take advantage of this Jaguars defense. Obviously, the return of Odell Beckham Jr. will, you know, provide a light to this defense. He is being given a real big test against Jalen Ramsey week 1. This is something that we talked about earlier in the week on the pod. Chris Thornton, my co-host, actually did a full breakdown on the matchup between Ramsey and Odell that you can check out over at LockedOnJaguars.com. It's full of GIFs that display both players' potential in terms of talent, shows what they do well, how they should match up against each other strength by strength, kind of an iron sharpening iron type of matchup. Be sure to check that out. So we don't even really need to go too much in depth with Ramsey and Odell. That's just going to be a fun matchup to watch in terms of both of their talents as well as both of their ability to trash talk, get a little angsty with each other. I think that'll be really, really entertaining. But there are some other guys that, you know, we do need to watch out for. Eli Manning is still, you know, he's not what he used to be. He's been decently effective when he is on the field. Last year at one point he was benched during the middle of the year by Coach Ben McAdoo, which made a lot of people mad. There was no real reasoning for it. No one really understood why it was happening, but it did. And he came back shortly after. He's kind of looking for a fresh start with Pat Shurmur in as the new head coach, former offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. So maybe they'll have some tricks up their sleeve to see if they can get a little more juice out of Eli. But with Odell returning, that'll obviously help Eli a ton, as well as they have their second-year tight end, Evan Engram, who led the team in receptions last year with 64. He's a mismatch type of player. He's kind of, you know, a project tight end player because he has the ability to play like a wide receiver in a tight end's body. He stands at 6'3", 240 pounds, but he's fast. He's athletic. He's a guy that can go up and, you know, win contested catches, playing out of the slot, playing outside, moving them all around. He's one of those new breed type of tight ends that people are looking for, like the Mike Gesickis of this past draft, the Rob Gronkowskis, the Travis Kelce's, those types of guys that are really athletic at tight end and are true passing game weapons. The Jaguars have struggled against, you know, covering tight ends in the past. Even in this past year, they had their times where they were getting beaten up by some tight ends. So, you know, we'd be curious to see how Miles Jack is able to handle that as he's transitioned to the absolute full-time middle linebacker for this team. He will have a lot of the underneath stuff going on his way. He will be covering tight ends throughout the year, as well as when they're in nickel formation, with Engram being a guy that can play in the slot, we'll really get a taste as to how DJ Hayden will perform as a Jaguar. It also won't surprise me, and this is an idea that my buddy Philip Proust, who also works with us at Locked On Jaguars, as well as Big Cat Country, you can find him on Twitter at JacksonPhil, JaxonPhil. He's had the idea that Ronnie Harrison, Jaguars' third-round pick safety, should be getting some time at nickel. He's a big-bodied safety. He's a dude that can come down and make plays against the run. He's a thumper. He's a big tackler. He's also very good in pass coverage. He was quite a steal for the third-round pick. No one expected him to be there. But I'd be curious to see if they try and find a way to put him in as a third safety playing the nickel role, like a hybrid safety cornerback role that we kind of saw the Eagles doing with Malcolm Jenkins last year as their team's third safety, and he proved to be incredibly effective there, covering tight ends, covering these athletic but big-bodied guys and being able to put a lot of pressure on them to force them to not be able to make plays. I think that could truly be Harrison's calling card in his rookie year while he awaits to take over the strong safety position in years come. The year's coming. But as for now, I think that could be something that we could definitely keep an eye on, him and Hayden taking on a guy like Engram. And then last but not least on this Giants offense, they had the second pick in this draft. And who'd they take? Much like the Jaguars taking a running back at fourth overall in 2017, they took a running back at second overall in this past draft. They took Saquon Barkley out of Penn State. The dude is a freak. He's a big-bodied running back, and for a big-bodied running back, the dude can move very quickly. He's very agile. He's able to make moves all over the field. He's able to make people miss. It'll be quite the test, obviously, for him in his first career game against this Jaguars defense, who started the year last year as one of the worst teams against the run in the NFL, finished the year as one of the best after they brought in Marcell Dareus, so we'll see how they've grown as a unit going against the run. But the Giants did upgrade their offensive line. In the second round, they drafted left guard Will Hernandez, who was a Jaguars Twitter favorite this year. He's a guy that a lot of us wanted him to take later in the first round, or maybe move up in the second and take him to really solidify this offensive line. As well as left tackle Nate Solder was signed from New England in this past free agency. John Jalapio, I don't really know much about him, but I know that he is also new to the team as well. I learned that in our crossover episode with Locked On Giants the other night. Former Jaguar Patrick Omame is the new starting right guard. He was always, you know, decent here in Jacksonville. Nothing special, nothing you could really hang your hat on, but he was a solid plug-and-play guy at right guard. The only returning Giant on that offensive line is Eric Flowers, who has had a lot of issues in pass protection in the past. So, you know, a guy like Yannick Ngakoue or Calais Campbell going against Flowers will probably be a really entertaining matchup to watch. But in terms of the run game and pass protection as a whole, this is an overhauled offensive line. Be curious to see how they gel together in week one, considering it is their first game and it's, you know, four new starters on this line. There could be a lot of potential for these guys to make big plays on defense. The Jaguars' pass rush should be able to get home a lot. They might have their way against the run. We'll just see how much Saquon Barkley has gotten used to the speed of the NFL as his first preseason's going on. It'll be very interesting to watch. You guys can be sure to obviously catch this game at 1 o'clock on Sunday. The Jaguars taking on the New York Football Giants. They will be wearing all white, their first look at the all white in their new uniforms, so be sure to check that out. One of the minor yet also fascinating storylines are these new uniforms. Everyone's on Uni Watch, just waiting to see exactly how this team will look in these brand new uniforms. This is the first time we've seen the all white, so that'll be something I'm looking forward to. And I think that should just about do it for us over here at Locked On Jaguars. Be sure to throw a subscription at Locked On Jaguars on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts. Check out the website, LockedOnJaguars.com. Follow myself on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, my absent co-host at Misto Cristofo, and last but not least, the Locked On Jaguars handle at Locked On Jaguars.